In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 103, Duties of a Parent, or Duties of Parents. We have a double image. The caption reads, "Parents have the duty of beginning their child's religious training as soon as possible." The first image shows a good mother teaching her child the sign of the cross. The second image, parents have the duty of sending their child to a Catholic school whenever one is available. Careless parents have much to answer for before God if they send their child to a non-Catholic school and the child grows up in ignorance or hatred of the Catholic faith. What duty have parents toward their children? Parents must provide for the spiritual and bodily welfare of their children. The fourth commandment requires parents to love their children and care for them in body and soul. Their duties include provision for their children's religious and moral training, bodily needs, education, discipline, manners, etc. Parents must provide a minor with food and clothing, guard him from sickness and accidents, and give him suitable play and exercise. It is the duty of parents to exercise personal supervision and not leave everything to household help. God gave children to parents, not to nursemaids. Likewise, those institutions called nurseries, where even babies may be left all day, however good they may be, and even if they are under the supervision of sisters, should be resorted to only for grave reason. It is the duty of Catholic parents to send their child to a Catholic school. Secular or non-Catholic schools where the Catholic religion is not taught may be tolerated only when the diocesan bishop gives permission on account of prevailing circumstances. At home, the parents should supervise the child's studies. They should support the authority of the teacher in order to teach the child proper respect for authority. It is not edifying for parents to criticize or ridicule the teacher in the child's presence. The evil effects of such conduct on the child can hardly be overestimated. Parents must provide for a child's future by giving him an education that will develop his mind and character. They should also enable him to acquire some training, trade, or profession by which he may later become self-supporting. Parents who give a child all the food, candy, toys, and clothing he asks for only indulge him and show false love. Girls should be made to dress with modesty. Parents have no obligation to support their grown-up children. It is a bad practice to continue supporting older children, for in that way they become lazy, depending on the parents. How should parents provide moral and religious training? Parents should begin early to give their child religious training. As soon as the child can speak, he should be taught the ordinary prayers and told of God and holy things. It is a very praiseworthy custom to have family prayers in which all of the family participate. A child should be made to say his morning and night prayers regularly. He should be taught his catechism and prepared for confession and First Holy Communion. He should be made to attend Mass and perform all his religious duties faithfully. Parents must exercise continual vigilance to guard the child from moral evil. As the child grows older, he should not be allowed excessive liberty, especially with regard to company he keeps and to staying out at night. Parents should always know where the child is, who his companions are, what he reads, and what shows he sees. Parents must correct the child's faults, taking care not to be either harsh or overindulgent. They must act with justice as well as mercy. They must treat all their children equally and show no favoritism. Parents who fly into a rage about a fault one day and laugh at the same fault another day can hardly expect their child to respect them. Parents who are too good to correct child, parents who are too, quote, good to correct, chide, or punish a child who has committed grave faults are either stupid or lazy. They are bad parents, failing in their duties to God. Parents must give good example to the child. Deeds are more powerful than words. If the parents neglect the sacraments, mass, and other religious duties, they cannot well expect their child to be faithful. Some parents think that just because they send their child to a good Catholic school, they have no further responsibility over his training. However good a school, God did not give a child into its independent care, but into that of parents. Parents must train their children, not only by precept, but chiefly by example. By the fruit, the tree is known. What should be the attitude of parents when their child is grown up? When their child is grown up, parents should remember that their child is an individual whom God created for his own purposes and that he has his own rights and privileges. Parents should help their child accomplish God's purposes as much as they can. They must never be an obstacle to the child through selfishness or false love. Parents should be most careful about their attitude when the child chooses an occupation, and especially when he chooses a state in life. In their child's choice of an occupation or profession, parents should act with wisdom and understanding. They should advise, but never force. It happens sometimes that a child shows a strong inclination for a certain study. This should be encouraged, for it is a sign of talent. If the child shows no special inclination, a mutual agreement and understanding should prevail. If the child is strongly attracted to the study of farming or architecture, he should not be forced to become a lawyer because his father is a lawyer or because his parents wish to boast of a politician. How many are failures in their occupations today because their parents forced them into a calling distasteful to them? Many parents, out of pure caprice, interfere with the practice of their child's profession or occupation by preventing his acceptance of positions, by wishing him to stay home with them, etc. Such parents need not be surprised if they find themselves burdened with the support of their grown-up children and their families. If you cut off the wings of a bird, it cannot fly. In the choice of a state of life, which may make or mar the life of their child, parents should advise but not interfere. If he wishes to marry and they have any objection to the partner he has chosen, they may state their objections. If the objection is very serious, they may try to prevent the marriage, but never otherwise. Parents should not be selfish. Many are so selfish that wishing to keep their child to themselves, they can find no one in the whole world satisfactory as a partner for him. Parents should remember that the child is entitled to his own life. When they die, he should be able to exist without them. Parents sin when they force their child to marry someone he does not care for. Parents must not meddle in the affairs of their married children. This interference is a frequent source of disagreement between couples. Parents must be very careful of their attitude if their child chooses a religious vocation. That completes the reading. All right. Do we have any questions or comments? I don't have much to say anything, but I have been thinking since that question on jurisdiction, whether bishops have jurisdiction or not. I did make a comparison, I believe, last week with parents have jurisdiction over their children, and that jurisdiction is of divine origin. It is not delegated to them by anyone else. The mere fact that they are parents and have brought a child with the cooperation of God or through cooperating with God, they have brought a child into this world. They are ordained by God to be that child's guardian, protector, provider. All of these things, they have that jurisdiction over their children. And anyone else who has any authority over the children, that authority is, you might say, sub-delegated by the parents. When we send our children to a school and give the teacher authority to instruct our children, that teacher is still acting in the name of the parent. And I think this, our society has begun to really turn this upside down, where teachers now feel no obligation or responsibility to parents, but they believe that their authority over these children come from the state, or that the children somehow belong to the state, and the state knows what is best, more so than parents. And this is truly the inversion of right order. And as I say this, I cannot help but say, yes, the state does have obligations to step in for the protection of children and families, for the good of the state. The state has an obligation to step in and sometimes strip parents of their jurisdiction, if you will, their authority over their children, because they have proven themselves unworthy or even dangerous or harmful to the welfare of the child, to the good of the interest of the family and for the state. And so in that instance, again, all authority, all power comes from God, but God has first given that authority over children to parents. And even when I was teaching school, I would call the parents in and tell them, you're the one who's going to have to answer to God for this child's education, not me. I'm here to help you. I'm here to do whatever I can to assist you in getting this child into heaven and educating your child, but if you're going to undermine me, if you're going to do everything opposed, take your child and teach your child yourself. You're the one who's going to have to answer to God. If you don't want my help, say so. But I'm only here to help. I am not the one who's going to stand before God on Judgment Day and answer for your child. You are the one who will have to answer. And so you need to take an interest. And I think many parents have lost sight of that, they are the ones responsible for the education of the child. They should know what the child is learning. They should know what the child is doing, what the child is watching, what the child is reading. All of these things, they must take, a more interested role in the education of their children than normally is being done. And I've met so many parents when we talk about homeschooling, I can't, I'm not qualified. And I've suggested to many mothers that you are qualified. You're more qualified than someone who's gone to college, even in your ignorance. If you can teach the child to read and write and do simple basic mathematics, that's wonderful. But if you can teach the child to pray, if you can help the child to love God, that's more important and that's greater than any of these other things that you think you're unqualified to do. And I would argue that anyone with average intelligence that will cooperate with the grace of God can successfully teach their own children. And there are all kinds of assistance and help and programs that are available. And if you really want to do it, I think it can be done. I realize it's not feasible for everyone, and I fall short of trying to impose it upon everyone, but that is the course, and those who must send their children into some public school system, even a parochial school system, if you will. I don't consider the modernist church parochial schools to be much different, if different at all, from the public school system. I've met parents who told me that sending their children to the parochial school system is not much different than sending them to a private school. And that's essentially all it is. It is a private school because there was no true religious instruction there. The obligations of parents are serious, and I'm pleased that this lesson pointed out that the adult children should not be dependent upon their parents. The parents' duty is to prepare these children to step out into the world and to participate in the world and do something with their life in the world. But if the adult children are sitting in the basement playing games, the parents have some responsibility for that. There has to come a time, and what do they call it, tough love, where you have to say enough is enough. You need to be a productive member of society, because obviously, all things being equal, the parents are going to die first and leave this poor child without anyone to watch over him and protect him and guide him and feed him, because he doesn't know how to do any of these things for himself. They are adult infants, I guess. All right, that's my little soapbox for today. Do we have any questions or comments? Then we will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord, my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos et maniat semper. Amen.